Good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. I would invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We do have some birthdays this week that we get to remember and celebrate. This Wednesday, Jordan Buck has a birthday. On Thursday, Billy Buck has a birthday. On Friday, Dustin Gasway has a birthday. So make sure that you wish those guys a happy birthday for this week. Think about those things that we get to do with one another in such a simple way to be able to reconnect during the week with those that they're celebrating those days. And we've been looking at our family and thinking about, you guys well know, my two favorite weeks of the year are VBS and camp. When we think about those 2 weeks and being able to see each other, more of each other, to have that bonus time together, and then at camp to get to have bonus time with a lot of kids from different areas and people from different areas, and being able to reconnect with them and to rekindle those friendships and things that we have. We pick up, it seems, right where we left off. And this year there was one instance in particular that we had one kid that he could not wait to see his counselor. And he came running up to him and he gave him a big hug and he said, "Man, I'm so glad to see you. And I'm looking forward to this week and I can't wait to have our cabin devos. I can't wait to get into the Word of God with you and to be able to look at the scriptures and to learn lessons." And this kid's an older kid and it got me excited as well, thinking about, here's one of our older teens that is excited about being able to study God's Word, to listen to it, and to be able to dive into what his counselor has to say. And I'm thankful because we have some really great counselors. This counselor checks in on those kids and he talks to them throughout the year a lot of times and makes sure that things are going good with them. And so I think about this. One of the things that he said to that camper, he said, "Man, I love to go through the Word of God with you guys, because what it does is help me remember exactly why I get to be so excited for this week and why I look forward to this week every year, because it's guys like you that I get to spend the week with and grow closer to." And I thought about that and reflected on that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We usually talk about beginning about verse 50 down through the end, right? And we talk about the fact that what's going to happen as Jesus comes back, when he returns, that this mortal is going to put on immortality, that we're not going to know the things of this life any longer. I think about those that come walking in at times and maybe they've got a cane, or maybe like Ann, they have a boot, and it changes, right? We have to change boots from time to time, and that boot might change foot, right? Depending on what foot is giving you the most trouble at the time. I'm looking forward to a day that we don't have those ailments. We don't have those things that go on. I'm looking forward to that day when this mortal gets to put on immortality, that we have that last victory that's overcome, that death is overcome, that death is not an enemy. Death is not something that we need to be scared of or be afraid of. In fact, you get to the end of that chapter and you look at verse number 58. Because of death being able to be swallowed up in victory, it gives us the reason to stand, right? In verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work is not in vain in the Lord." I had a conversation with a good friend of mine not very long ago. It was before we went to camp, but not long ago. And we talked about this. We talked about these verses. And he said, "What gets you excited about those verses?" I said, "Well, go back to the beginning of that chapter. That's what gets you excited about those verses." And he said, "What do you mean?" "Well, go back to verse number 1. Look at these verses. Moreover, brethren, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Doesn't matter which apostle you listen to. We all preach the same thing. We all preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that, in verses 1 through 4, is what Paul lays out. This is the gospel which I preach to you, by which, even more importantly, you are saved. If you don't believe in vain, if you don't turn back to going to the world. But let me tell you about Jesus, the one who came and lived and died, was buried and raised again from the dead, that God raised from the dead. That's why we can stand. That's why we stand exactly where we do in verse number 1. You've received, taken in this gospel, and it's where you stand. It's where you live your life. Not according to anybody's opinion. Now, this is important. This is why I love looking at the Scriptures and being able to get into the Scriptures. Look at verses 3 and 4. Paul writes, "For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to man's tradition, according to some folklore that was passed down generation to generation to generation." No. He says, according to the Scriptures. You see the reason he believed? You see the reason he received what he received? Not because man taught it, but he says, this was all done according to the Scriptures. I delivered that which I also received. I received it from God. I didn't receive it from man. It was from God. That's the Scripture that came. Verse 4, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. Notice, according to the Scriptures. Not according to folklore or man's tradition. Not according to what somebody just happened to hear. It was all according to the Scriptures. And we've looked at these things before, to go back to places like Isaiah chapter 52, beginning there about verse 13 down through the end of chapter 53. And we think about that prophecy that was made and those prophecies throughout the Old Testament Scripture, beginning in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where God himself gave the first messianic prophecy to the devil and told him, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. He's going to deliver to you the death blow. Well, there's the death blow. He did so according to the Scriptures. And we've looked at places like Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4, that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, and God raised him from the dead. You see, that's why we think about that life that comes, that we have that opportunity for this mortal not to know what it is to hurt and to be in pain. Not to know what it is to have to use something to help you as you move. Not to know sorrow and pain, discomfort. I'm ready for that day. Because that same power that raised him from the dead is the same power that will raise you and I. Look at me, if you would, please, at 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to notice these words. Paul writes to say, look, we all preach the same thing. It doesn't matter which one of us you have heard it from, which one you have listened to. None of those things matter. What matters is that you have heard, that you believe, that you stand there in Christ now. That's where you live your life. Paul calls himself one born out of due season. That he thanks God, and he thanks God and the grace of God that he gets to be a preacher, that he gets to be a minister, that he gets to be one who shares the gospel. And notice, Paul understands and he realizes just how truly blessed he is to be one who gets to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm going to work harder than all of them who came before me. Doesn't mean they're not working hard. Just means that nobody's going to work harder. They're not going to outwork him, because Paul realizes where he's come from. Well, here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, notice what Paul writes. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You see that same grace that he talks about there, his grace in verse 14, exceedingly abundant. He's never going to run out of it. There's not a chance that it would ever run out. Paul says, I'm so thankful to him for putting me into this ministry, for enabling me, giving me the ability to be able to preach, to be a minister, to serve God. He has enabled me. He's given me that ability to be able to serve him. That's what he wants. That's what he looks forward to. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You start to see why we can stand fast. We've talked the past few weeks about our kids, looking at last week even the relationship of parents and kids. Last Sunday morning we looked at parents' responsibilities, and last Sunday evening we looked at kids' responsibilities. We use 1 Corinthians chapter 15. A lot of times if you go down to verse 33, this is the verse that we use. The bad company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good morals. He starts off that verse, do not be deceived. Don't fool yourself. Don't kid yourself. Don't think that you can overcome those bad influences by spending all your time there. That company means that these are the people that we are surrounding ourselves with the majority of the time. You've got to stay away from those influences. That's what Paul writes. Don't deceive yourself. Don't allow yourself to be deceived that if that's where you spend the majority of your time, that you're not going to be corrupted, influenced, that that's not going to have an effect on you. He says, don't deceive yourself. Don't allow yourself to be deceived because of that. The reason that he gives that would seem in the place that he does. He has talked about those people, as we've already read, looked at the fact that according to the scriptures, and according to the scriptures, we see Jesus, the life that he lived, that he died, that he was buried, that he then rose from the grave, and he was seen by Cephas, he was seen by 12, he was seen by over 500 people at once. And Paul says, those people, the majority of them, you could go talk to. This isn't somebody, it's hearsay or folklore. These are eyewitnesses. Some of them have passed on. Some of them no longer are living. But you can go talk to a lot of these people and actually talk to someone who saw a risen Savior, who saw him outside of the grave, who would have been able to see the holes in his hands, perhaps even like Thomas, to put their hand in the hole in his side. They saw a risen Savior. They saw what happened, that God had the power and the ability to raise him from the dead, that he has been preached, that he has been raised from the dead, that it's talked about that he has been raised from the dead, that this is where you stand. And you think about who you surround yourself with. And this isn't just for kids, this is for all of us. Who do we spend our time with? What do they know about you? Do they know that you're a child of God? Do they look at you? Do you have that influence on them that you do, as verse 58 says, that you stand steadfast, immovable, abounding in the works of the Lord, knowing your work is not in vain in the Lord? Do we stand there? Because those people, like those of bad company in verse 33, you know what they need? They need you. They need you to have that same influence on their life for good. You see, what they need is for you to be the one who sets that example of what it is to be godly. That you don't back down. Now, I'm not telling you these are people you need to surround yourself with the majority of the time, because Paul gives that warning. Don't be deceived. Don't fool yourself. But when you do come into contact with them, what they need to see in you and I is somebody who is going to stand for righteousness. Verse 34, I think at times gets overlooked. He says, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God." And he says, "I speak this to your shame." I look at the last sentence of that verse, and that one hits hard. I can tell you so many times in my life, and we could all go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and start in verse number 12, and we could write about ourselves. Because you know that same ability that he has given Paul to serve and to live for Christ every day, same ability you and I have. To be able to be one who lives for him, we have that ability. To live for him every single day. We have that ability to do so. And we could talk about the things that we've done in our lives that are ungodly. We can talk about those things that we've done in our lives that we're thankful to have had the opportunity to be forgiven for. Because there's not a sin you and I can commit today that we don't have that ability to be forgiven of. We could talk about it, or we could live it. What we could realize is that we could have an influence on the people around us. And whether you're a kid who's getting ready to go back to school, and whether that's elementary school, junior high, high school, college, whatever it is, you can have that type of influence on those people around you. Because what you have done is you have awakened to righteousness. You have awakened to realize this is the manner of life God would have me to live. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to determine this. Jordan's been going through the plan of salvation with our kids Sunday evenings. One of the verses that he has brought out for Live Faithfully is one of my favorite verses of all time. Luke 9 and verse 23. Jesus said, "If anyone desires to follow after me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." There's the responsibility that we have. To live daily for him. That's what it looks like to awake to righteousness. To live for him. To do what is right in the eyes of God. And thus that spreads to what is right in the eyes of man. We don't want to be those who are deceived. We don't want to be those who allow ourselves to think that I can hang out with those who are a bad influence. And I can constantly overcome that. Because what we'll find is that little by little, that begins to get chipped away. The opposite is also true. When we surround ourselves with those that are of good company, we find ourselves getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And as we get stronger, Those times that we do have that company that they lack that righteousness, they've not awakened to that. We can have that effect on them to bring them to Christ. We can help them to have that knowledge of God that they do not have. We can help them to see and understand what God would have them to do so that they can live with Him. When we think about the responsibilities that we have, one of those is to give the why. And as I've said, thinking about these verses and thinking about those kids that get excited to go and to learn, to gain knowledge, to get stronger in the Word of the Lord, to get stronger in the example that they live every day to help others see that as well. This is what it is as a Christian. Paul has, the thing I love about Scripture and I love about the apostles and men like the Apostle Paul, they don't mind to lay themselves bare. They don't mind to tell you, these are the things that I have done in my life contrary to what God would have me to do. And I'll tell you about myself all day long. I have shortcomings. I have sinned. I have fallen short. But here's the thing. Every single day, Christ has given me that ability to live for Him, to serve Him. And in doing so, I serve those around me by showing them what Christ would have us to do, by living how He would have us to live. You see, it doesn't matter. I think about our kids. They're getting ready to go back to school. They're getting ready to go out into the world and be that light, that salt, to flavor somebody's life, to be that light for somebody to look at and to draw them to Christ. I think about them getting to go out, because one day we are all going to stand. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, we are all going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account of everything that we have done, whether good or evil. We're going to stand before Jesus Christ. We're going to give that account. The thing is, if you have lived for Him, what you're going to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. If we haven't lived for Him, we're going to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. You've practiced, lived out lawlessness or sin. You see, one of those two phrases is going to come from the Lord to every single one of us. I want to hear, enter in. I want to listen to Him say, well done. I want to have this body put on an immortal body that looks like the Savior, that gets to spend eternity in heaven with Him. And every one of us has that opportunity today to be right with Him. So as verse 34 tells us, awake to righteousness, do not sin. Maybe this morning you need to have that moment of awakening. To wake up to doing as God would have you to do. To think about all that Jesus went through, all that He did. Paul says, I get to preach to you the gospel. You get to stand, having received it, you get to stand right there in it. That anchor for the soul, to stand strong, to be the influence on others that Christ would have you to be. Maybe this morning you think about everything that Jesus did in coming to this world. John chapter 1 and verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld Him. There are those who got to see Him in His ministry. There are those who got to see Him after He raised from the dead. I want to see Him. I want to live with Him. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven so bad I can taste it. I'm just ready for that day. To be able to spend eternity in heaven with our Savior. And with those of like precious faith, who have lived their life faithful to the end, that have not been deceived, but have awakened to live for Him every day. Maybe this morning you need to put Christ on, that you need to repent of that sin, be willing to confess His name and live for Him faithful unto death. Maybe this morning, as a child of God, You've allowed yourself to be deceived. You've been kidding yourself. And there are things in your life that you need to make right so that you can be right with God. This morning, if we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come now. As together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.